And now, courtesy of the 11L Network, it's LF Midwood.
LF Midwood.
And the Midwood Files. With the LF Midwood Experience. Here on Radio New York International.
Welcome to the Midwood Files. My name is LF Midwood. I was just looking at, I became hypnotized by the meters again. You know, I got the meters over here. I was just complaining about this to the producer, and it wasn't complaint so much an observation. And you're not going to understand what I'm saying because it's software that I can see that helps me encode. But the meters on my encoding software, they look like they're mono. They literally look like they're just, and that's when music is playing, obviously, when there's a mic going through. And I don't play a heck of a lot of music anymore. And tonight won't be any different. The meters, the left and right look like they're locked together, which would make them mono, even though it's supposed to be stereo. And when I look at the board, there's a bit of a difference when I play music. So I don't really, that little opening, I was staring at the board meters. There's meters all over the place. But I was staring at the meters on my audio board. And they move independently. So I think I'm just going to look for the whatever I need on a, like some sort of, methinks I'm just going to use the meters on my encoding software as a general idea of where things are at. That's what I'm going to do. I can't live and die by your meters. It's like flying by instrumentation. Anyway, you know, I didn't really do anything this week. I went out yesterday and I had to get cat litter. And then my aunt wanted to get something to eat. So we wound up going. Yes, I went to another restaurant. I didn't take a picture. Anthony's Coal Fired Pizza. I think they're a chain out of Florida, and there's more of them up and down the East Coast. So I imagine there must be one in New York, New Jersey area. I would be surprised if there weren't. They do really good oven fired pizzas. They're well done. I might add, it's like soot. They bring you soot. It's soot. There's soot on the pizza. It doesn't bother me. That's the stuff that they used to sit around. That's the stuff that causes cancer. But I don't think cancer is funny anymore. So I don't sit around about that. So we went in there and we were just going to get a beer, you know? So she was going to get a cocktail. So we sat there and I was like, you know, I'm in here already. I'm risking my life, right? Cause that's what you do nowadays when you go outside. So you're risking your life. And, I said, I'm hungry. So, we got a pizza. We got a margarita square. I think they call it. I love fresh basil. Big fan of fresh basil over here. And it's not a ginormous pie, but we ate half of it. And what we did is we saved the other half for the producer to bring home. But what we also ordered is I had a Blue Moon with had to come with the orange wedge, you know. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been legit. So I had a Blue Moon lager. And we ordered an eggplant dish that we wanted to split as an appetizer, right? So I figured, you know, fried eggplant. I mean, I like eggplant. I'm an eggplant guy. So I got no problem with it. You can pretty much cook it any way you want, and I'll eat it. I don't like that baba ganoush stuff. I'm not big, you know. You gotta watch those. Those brown people. You gotta be careful what they're doing. I've become more and more xenophobic. What is it when you detest all other cultures? Is there a word or name for that? Somebody look that up for me. So we ordered it, right? So it shows up, and it looks like a, you know, nice portion. So we split it, but it looks like I can't see the eggplant. There's just like a good amount of marinara sauce, and I say marinara sauce because it had the carrots in it. You know, people who cook will know what I mean. And I cut it in half, and I take half the basil because there's basil. So I give myself half, or I give her half, and I give myself half, right? And I'm looking at the eggplant, and it looks like it's thin strips. And I'm saying to myself, this isn't fried. And I was actually very happy. I was happy. And I think what they did, and this is, I figured it out before I asked the waitress, but she concurred. What they do is they take thin strips of eggplant. They skin it, right? And then they cut it. And they only give you the outer part. You don't get the part where the seeds are, you know? So they cut that outer part into like thin strips. And they saute it in olive oil with a little bit of garlic. It was fantastic. It was really, really good. I enjoyed it. I plan on getting that again, or even trying to duplicate it. It couldn't be too hard. It can't be too hard, you know? And I guess that way you don't have to worry about getting the moisture out too much, you know? Because that's a big thing when you fry an eggplant, to get the moisture out. And my aunt's like, oh, why don't you make it baked again like you did the last couple of times you made it? And I'm like, no. Some stuff needs to be fried. I don't care. Eggplant needs to be fried. I can take the shortcut with the chicken, you know, but with the eggplant, you got to fry the eggplant. So I got my cat litter, and we went out to get a bite to eat. And you know, we go to BJ's for our cat litter, because you get a lot of it for a little bit of money. Mid amount of money, a lot of litter. I must have bought like 75 pounds plus 25 pounds of cat litter that I had to pump into the cart. But what I did was, because my aunt stayed in the car, because I don't normally get to go shopping on my own, so I wandered around looking at stuff, you know, because I got like long-term list plans, things I'd like to get, like particularly electronics, you know, computers and things of that nature, where it's like, you know, I'd like to know what stuff costs a new TV set. I'd like to know what stuff costs, get a, you know, an idea or whatnot. And I do, you know, I don't do it very often, but like, you know, twice a year, three times a year, I actually bother to walk through the electronics section, and you get a lot of TV for about $650 these days. And I'm partial to Sony sets, have been from the old days. But no, I didn't buy a TV set. But right near the one of the cat aisles, there was a cat set up for wireless headphones, you know, wireless earbuds. Now, you may not know this because I don't talk about it too much, but I've been in the market for a decent set of earbuds for a long time. And when I say long time, I've been talking about it for 2 years. Because remember, I got the set of headphones, that the Skull Candies, that I complained that there's too much bass, so I only use them for the phone. But they're big. They're big, and they're, you know, they're cumbersome at times, even though they're wireless. And I wind up using them with the wire 90% of the time anyway, because they never charge. So I wanted to get a wireless pair. So Skull Candy, there was Skull Candies. I guess I misread the sign. I think there was the good ones, which are the ones that I bought, were $25 off. The not so good ones, meaning the lesser models, were $29. So I thought I was getting the lesser ones, because I said to myself, let me dip my toe for $30, right? But it turns out I was paying like $40-something for the better model. I think they're the Skull Candy Indie Evos. For anybody who's interested, 6 hours they charge. They had a 6 hour charge in them, and that the case holds like 24, so you could charge them off the case and then recharge the case, blah 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 blah. Now the thing about these earbuds things is, I'm okay with audio, you know what I mean? I'm not saying I'm the best, but I mean, I have a pretty decent grip of audio, so I know there's no way I'm gonna get this really good bass sound out of a little thing that goes in my ear. The driver's just not big enough. It's science, man. I mean, it's not, you know. So, and these companies come up with all sorts of gimmicks to make stuff sound like it should, but it can't, so it doesn't. It's really what it, if you can follow that, right? But I bought them anyway, and I paid, like I said, I think I paid between $45 and $50. And first thing I did when I got in the car, when we were on the way back to the restaurant, is I checked to see how much they are on Amazon. This way you see how much of a deal I got or didn't get. Amazon and most other places have them listed for about $80. So any way you slice it, I saved $30 for the better model of these earphones, earbuds. And they're good. They're deep. They go in, and it's got the mic and the whole nine yards. They look like little black versions of the iPod ones, but they're not, obviously. I think Samsung makes one. I think everybody makes a model of those now, actually. So I get them home. After I eat, I get them home. It took me a while to figure out how to get to, because there's two different There's two buds. We'll refer to them as buds. There's two buds, right? And you got to have the buds pair up to your phone. But before you can get the buds to pair up to your phone, apparently you have to have the buds pair up to each other because you can use them independently, which is actually interesting, I suppose. So it took me like an hour. Literally, I'm watching the Knicks game. They won, by the way, pregame. And looking interesting. Yeah. And it took me like an hour to figure out how to get these things to talk to one another. And then once I figured out how to get them to talk to one another, everything was fine. Because I could only get one or the other to work because the phone was latching on to one or the other because they weren't paired. Meaning the actual earbuds themselves weren't paired. So you got to pair the earbuds and then you got to pair the paired earbuds to the phone or whatever device you're using. So that took a while and I was a little discouraged there. You know, I figured I could have like an 8-year-old do this in like 2 minutes. But I was like, what's going on here? I kept reading the thing. And, you know, that's when you know you're old when you're reading it over and over and over. And you're like, but this still doesn't make sense. Well, maybe I'm not, you know, and you say, maybe I'm just not understanding something. And, you know, you're slowing your eyes, get a little more slanty, and you're like, what is going on? And then finally, you have like a eureka moment. I didn't have a eureka moment. It just kind of lucked into it. But they're working the way they should now. That's all that really matters. So I pop them in my ears, and they're not bad. The bass isn't, I had to change the size of the part that goes in your ear. They give you a little thing, small, medium, large. I put the large ones on because I apparently have big ear openings. For anybody who's interested, I have big ear openings. I pop them in there and I start listening to some stuff. And I'm like, yeah, this is, you know, I was expecting them to be as deficient in bass as the other Skull Candies were abundant in bass, to be quite honest. But they're actually somewhere in the middle. They're not too shabby. I'll probably be using them for podcast 99.9% of the time with voice. So it's not like the biggest deal in the world. I only listen to music at certain hours, you know, certain times during the week. And I have a nice list that I want to start producing, you know, but I decided this is an executive decision for those of you who are music fans. The executive decision is I'm not going to be doing any music until the first show of the new year. I might do some Christmas music on that show before Christmas. I might, if I'm in the mood. But I'm not doing any produced musical sets until the new year. And then in the new year, I think the show is going to go to 2 hours, and I'm going to do 2 15-minute music sets, or the equivalent of 2 15 music sets somewhere during the course of the show. So there'll be one for 1 hour and one for the second hour, which means I'll only actually be doing 45 minutes per hour of talk, which means you'll get me for 90 minutes. It's a 90-minute show if you don't like music. But I think somewhere in the middle of each show, I'm going to look to play the music, you know, each hour, I'm going to look to play the music to give myself a little break, and get myself there. I have cold tea. I kind of wish I had a cup of hot tea, but it'd be a big deal now. And the tea would be too hot for the show anyway. I didn't think about that ahead of time. I've switched over from coffee to tea and I'm drinking like generally one cup of tea a day. I got my stash double bergamot, Earl Grey, which I love to death. And I got some of that Tazo stuff left. And my aunt has a pretty big tea collection. So I figure it's got to be less coffee, less caffeine. I switched over to have a new cup. I don't know if you can. This is silver, not gunmetal. I don't know if you can tell the difference. Remember the gunmetal one with the coffee? This doesn't clog up because there's no dairy involved. Because only fairies put milk and sugar in their tea. Just so you know. All right. That's a clear sign of mental illness and or possible homosexuality. Not that those things aren't the same. But a clear sign for those of you wondering. So this is my tea cup. This is my thermos tea cup. And I have a thermos coffee cup that's separate that we keep segregated. So I'm back on tea. And I feel pretty good. I like it. I always like tea. So it's not like a big deal. But and I'm still drinking this diet stuff. You know, the producer's telling me now that your pancreas, It processes aspartame the same way it processes sugar. And I'm like, where did you read this? And she says, I read it on the internet. And I went, aha! So I'm going to have to follow up on that. I know there's been aspartame conspiracy theories for like ever. You know, long time. So I have to look into it because it's like, you know what, I'll go to water then during the day. I'll have my cup of tea in the morning and whatever. Because I don't want to drink multiple cups of tea a day. I don't need that much caffeine. It's what it comes down to. I was drinking like a quart, more than a quart of coffee a day. Sometimes 2 quarts, a lot of freaking coffee I was drinking. And it's counterproductive to my mood elevators or to my mood stabilizers. Counterproductive. So I've decided to lean off a little bit and see if I've still got these little spasms, which are, I think it's that TARDIS, whatever, kinesia that's attached to the bipolar meds, where it's involuntary, like little jerk muscle twitching. It happens with my jaw sometimes. I got to make sure my tongue is out of the way or there'll be a big problem. So, yeah, I might take a week off because I bit my tongue. That would be really funny. That's, you know, that's what's going through my head this week. The earbuds are good, though. I like them. I got to try them for a phone call. They're real light for the most part. They look kind of big, but they're real light in the ear. And I don't really notice they're there. And I used them. I was listening. I went into gymnasium's room last night. I haven't been in there in a couple of weeks. I went over to the Hank and Jim Radio Network. Check them out on Vaughn Live. Vaughn dot, I never remember what it is. Just put in Vaughn Live, and you'll get Vaughn site. And then if they're on, you'll see they're listed in the thing, because everybody who's on is listed. And you could go check them out. It's all, I don't know, they play different people, they play different types of music, but I try to get there early on Friday because I heard that Robin the Boy Wonder would be on, and he plays music that, like, Mike Boy music, as a friend of mine puts it, music that I can relate to, that I like. Gymnasium generally sticks to the oldies, for the most part. But get over there. If you haven't, get over there. They have chat rooms that if you register, you can go into the chat room. If you don't want to register, you can still watch what's going on in chat, and you still be able to get the audio/video without registering. Vaughn can seem a little scary, but it's no worse than your creepy uncle at Thanksgiving. During the holidays, should I say. So, I was over there, and I had the earbuds in, and yeah, it sounded pretty okay. It sounded, I was all right. I got up, I moved around, I left the room a couple of times, I had to go to the can, came back, everything was kosher. So I think for a good purchase, considering it took me 2 years to pull the tug. I was looking at other brands and lesser brands. I figured if I'm going to, just let me dip my toe and see how much I like this, you know. But at the end of the day, yeah, I think it wound up being pretty good value for what I got. And I don't mind plunking down money for stuff that works. I think most of you who know me, especially when you remember the last year or so, the upgrades that I've put into the studio, both audio and video. I don't mind plunking down the cash to get stuff to work right. I'm not opposed. I know we're getting towards the end of the year, and I'm just. I'm just at the point where I'm like, and I know a lot of people are too. There are plenty of normal people. I was having this conversation with my shrink. There's plenty of normal ass people, you know, well-adjusted individuals, who are like having a hard time. I mean, this has been a rough year for a lot of people. And while I've been fortunate in the aspect of not being affected too badly financially, the emotional and the intellectual, just to separate those two things, pounding, you know, that we're all taking, you know, I guess some of us are more better equipped. I guess, you know, we were having, this is what goes to my mind. We were having a mental health, crisis, prior to the COVID, and, let alone what was going on, the rioting during the summer. Also a very big thing, not for nothing, not to be taken for granted, although apparently you can riot and not worry about, you can gather and riot and not worry about COVID, but you can't eat in a restaurant. Anyway, I kind of like, I think about it, because I've really been, I have been affected. I know people who have been affected far, far more than I have. So I have a level of empathy for them, if you can believe that or not. I feel kind of like, I feel a little battered. I feel a little, you know, and I got plans, you know, for the relocation, which is hinging on a lot of things. You know, it's not hinging in the sense of that it's not going to happen. It's just where, you know, there's factors at work that are beyond our control, the virus and a couple few other things that are beyond our control at this point in time. So while we're still targeting the early spring, I think I mentioned this before, so I might be repeating myself. It might be a little, I might be here a little bit longer than that. Not really sure. We're not quite, but that's the point. It's the uncertainty. That's really starting to weigh on me a little bit because it's a major thing. You know, so like I'm just like moving across town or something. I'm moving, you know, halfway across the country again. And I'm tired. And there's even things attached to that I'm concerned with. I'm concerned about my cats. I'm concerned about getting my cats there. And then once my cats are there, how they adjust to country living, you know, get them a couple cowboy hats and some boots. No, actually, we're thinking that we're going to get them harnesses so we can let them go outside and like stake them to the ground and shit. And so they can run around in circles or whatever it is they do. You know what? We're going to get there and we're going to look in what's the Craigslist for cockfighting equipment. And we're going to get in one of those little cockfighting cages. No blades, no razors. No, just, they already have those. And sit them in there and let them watch the world from in there. But no, it is a concern. I love my cat. As most of you well know, I love my cats to death. It's like therapy critters for me, particularly Spatsy, but the other one pretty much too. She's sweet, but she's not sweet all the time, which is what you would expect from a female cat. So there's like uncertainty. I guess that's really what is going on. I know there's a lot of uncertainty, and I guess things are better because I think I just heard that the other virus was it Moderna? I'm not one Moderna. They've been approved. So they're talking about first responders, which makes sense to me, and the most vulnerable old folks home. You know, people have a lot of underlying conditions and whatnot, which was the highest demographic. Obviously, people are still dying. People who are in that higher, more threatened group are still dying of the virus. Although, you know, it's really weird because every now and then I kind of hear something that kind of breaks through to like, you know, when you hear it and you go like, what? Supposedly there's a lot of people are dying and then they're testing to see if they had the virus. People are dying like in car accidents, you know, and I think it was documented once or twice with motorcycle accidents, but people are dying of other things other than Corona, you know, the coronavirus, and they're testing the deceased. And if they find the virus present, they count that as a corona death, which is really, you would think if you're a rational individual, you would see how they're jacking up those numbers, those corona numbers. And so I have to look at that number. I think we're 297,000 and change at 3,000 roughly a day. I think we had a 3,300 yesterday. I think this is nationally. You have to wonder, what's going on, you know, again, you know, I don't even hate to say it anymore. There's something fishy going on in regards to the way that the coronavirus is being dealt with, you know, and being marketed, being pushed by the media. And I guess the media is going to be a big thing with me tonight, as it is from time to time. So they're selling it in a certain way. Their narrative is obviously a little bit different than reality, which is quite scary, you know, because, again, we're obviously being manipulated. Now, am I going to go so far to say that I'm worried about what might be in these viruses, you know, what in these vaccines? Well, like I said, I think I mentioned the week before, and I know I mentioned it before that, with I think Gates has a lot to do with a lot of money being put into the platform that these viruses work off of, you know, the way they chemically work. So that's a little something to be concerned about, whoever you are, whether you're paranoid or not. But I'm not, you know, and again, I don't want to see, I hate for the fact that people are dying. You know, it's going to be a long summer and or a long winter, I should say, and we're just in the beginning of winter. It's not even winter yet. It's not even December 21st. It's still fall, technically, for another week or so. Yeah, I'm a stickler for that stuff. You know, who knows? I mean, what are we talking, like 500,000 people? You know, 750,000 people, maybe, before at least the numbers that they're reporting? That's not good. Even if half of those are legit, that's not good. Now, granted, the majority of these people are going to be people who were older and had the underlying conditions and who were susceptible to the virus, more susceptible to the, we know that. I mean, we know that. But I mean, I don't see any reason, unless we're just going like Soylent Green, which case I'd already be dead. I don't see any reason why we should take any of this lightly. I'm not ready to say, oh well, you know, they were 70 or they were 80 and oh they were done, their life was finished. No, you know, especially since like I said, I've had the opportunity to spend a fair amount of time with my great uncle who's 93. I'm not ready to write him off by any stretch of the imagination. You know, so you know, if I think about how many people who probably fit into that category. And they love them, you know, and they contribute towards their lives in a positive way. They certainly don't want them to go away. It's easier when it's somebody else's grandpa, you know what I mean? It's, yeah. You know, so that being said, I'm a little concerned, you know, and again, we do have a pretty long run before, I think they were saying the spring or maybe possibly early summer before I got into the rank and file for the vaccination. So this thing is pretty much going to be able to run its course pretty good over the course of the winter. And I'm just, I don't know. Like I said, it's a manipulation. They're obviously manipulating it to some degree, and I can't figure out exactly to what end. I mean, other than the obvious, which was to shut the elections down and, well, to shut the economy down, for one, and make you more dependent upon government. And now there are a lot of people out there who never would have been dependent upon government who are now screaming at their government for not coming up with some sort of relief plan, which actually, considering the government keeps shutting shit down on people, I think the government is responsible for. This isn't charity. This is not nothing. This is money that people would have made were they working. And I forget what I was watching. I was watching most, I know I'm a bad boy. I was watching most of the Fox lineup tonight. I forget who said it, but people would rather be working. If you ask most people, they'd rather be working. They would rather not need a $1,200 check or enhanced programs from the federal government, or you know, enhanced unemployment or unemployment extensions. They'd rather be working. They'd rather be making money and putting food on the table for their family, because that's what they do. You know, it's a matter of pride here. A lot of people, I understand the idea of being, you know, prideful, because, well, I am kind of prideful, and I know pride before the fall. Believe me, I've fallen more times than you can count. But it's true. And that's another thing that I think, you know, when we look at it, it's like, I think the Democrats, and it's easier, you could say, oh, it's just the Republicans as well, too, you know, but the Democrats, they seem to be, you know, when we look at the idea of I'm watching the news and I'm seeing Andrew Cuomo and Dr. Fauci, and Cuomo's kidding about who's going to put, or the De Niro's going to play him or Fauci in the movie. And I think about the level of genocide that was committed by the governor, either because of his own stupidity or the fact that he didn't care at all in regards to sending COVID patients into old folks' homes in New York City. It makes me sick when, you know, and I mean beyond sick. I mean, like, you want to go with a hatchet and hit him in the head and hatchet sick, you know, not just disgusted, but I mean, it really makes me angry. And I don't get angry that much anymore because of the drugs, which is a good thing for everyone around me. You can ask them. They're kidding. You know, he's been on, how many times has he been on with his moron brother? You know, there's another guy who wouldn't, you know, we talk about I'm going to get into Hunter a little bit in a little while, but we get into the idea of Cuomo's brother. Was it Chris? Is it Chris? I don't watch CNN, so I couldn't tell you. But there's another guy who would just be, if his brother weren't governor of New York, he'd just be another ass clown. Another ass clown with a journalism degree, maybe. Unless he took basket weaving. Who knows these days, right? So yeah, the Cuomos, they got to go. Not for nothing. You know, when we look at like Nancy Pelosi, and she basically just came out. I mean, she came out this week as well. Now that we have a new president and we have a new vaccine, she's willing to move to have a smaller smaller package put together, a smaller relief package put together. I guess not something that maybe wouldn't include the checks, but that would, you know, extend some of the programs. There's actually money in some of these programs that they haven't dispersed yet from the last time that they can't disperse until there's another bill to allow them to do so, because there was a specific time frame on the money. So there was, for lack of a better term, an excess of money. You know, Nancy Pelosi, she's despicable. I mean, there's really no other way to put it, you know? Despicable. How do you get around that? I mean, regardless of your political leanings, how do you get around that? How do you rationalize that and say, well, that's okay? She's playing politics with people's lives. You know, who knows how many people have killed themselves. I wonder what the suicide rates are, dare I say. Because this was like, you know, the sky is falling type stuff. This is people's lives, you know, and they keep opening and closing, particularly the restaurant industry. And they've already shown in the studies that they have done, they've shown, at least from what they're able to tell, and I guess this is with the contact signaling or, you know, the and contact following. I forget what they call it. You know, when they ask you, write your name down in this way, contact tracing. That's like 1.6% from restaurants. And that's inside restaurants, let alone outside restaurants, right? The vast majority is from home and gatherings, you know, and people doing it. And I think there's shopping is another big one, actually. More so. We're talking about restaurants being at the bottom of the list. And the idea now becomes is that the restaurant industry is a tough industry, period. Half the new restaurants that open wind up closing. Fact. They just don't make it. Especially, you know, in places like New York where it's real tough and there's so many different choices. You know, it's one thing New York City, I don't have to say anymore. I could wake up 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, and say, I want whatever I want. And they bring it to the table. They bring it to the friggin' table. New York diners are the best. And I would say I would extend that to Jersey and Connecticut as well, too. Tri-state area diners are the best, period. You know, because they're not these little metal boxes, you know, that looks like a kid's toy. They're actually like huge buildings with people who are willing to bring stuff to you. Usually Greeks, not for nothing. 24 hours a day. 24 hours a day. The city that never sleeps. There's a reason for that. We have not one 24-hour news station. We have two. Count them, two. So anyway, so you go other places and you're like, what are you fucking kidding me? So I've been incredulous pretty much since I left New York. I've been in a constant state of incredulous since I've left New York. But no, it's true. You know, just getting back to restaurants, I love to talk about my city. But just getting back to restaurants, it's a rough industry to begin with. And now people, it's crazy. I think gyms are closed as well, too, at least here. And I know they're closing dining again in New York on Monday. And I know they did so in L.A. Like a week ago or maybe at the beginning of the week. I'm not even 100% sure. But they're basically in a lot of these places, you know, I've eaten out. I can tell you, matter of fact, you know, there are places where if they're doing a real good job of keeping people separated, shutting down tables, they shut down whole stations. They're at 25% capacity, 33% capacity, for Christ's sakes. You know what I'm saying? They're really spreading people out. Everybody wears a mask on the way in. You're 6 to 10, sometimes even, you know, longer than that, away from people, separated from people. You know, the worst thing that you got going is that there's a roof. It's an enclosed area. And some of these places have such high ceilings, it's not even, you have to look so high, you need a friggin' set of binoculars to see the top of the thing. You know, so they do, and they get the plexiglass. And they're doing what they've done, everything they're asked to do. And that costs money, by the way. Nobody's doing that for them. These restaurants are outfitting themselves and they're going to minimum capacity and they're splitting shifts with servers and whatnot. You know, servers aren't getting full shifts. So you got to remember, waitressing and, you know, and serving, I guess, because I'm being somewhat chauvinistic. You know, food servers, not for nothing, almost anybody can do that job. That's the one job, and I'll kind of swipe this from Reservoir.org. That's the one job that any woman can do. The only other job that any woman can do, quite frankly, if she puts her mind to it, you know? And remember, they live off of tips. So if there ain't no people coming in, primarily live off tips, there ain't no people coming in, they ain't getting tips. That's it. You know what I mean? So they're literally obliterating a whole friggin' industry. And it's a major industry. Now, you know, when we talk about the entertainment industry, let's expand that a little bit and talk about movie theaters. Okay. That's a tougher one, quite frankly. But still, movie theaters, what? Disney laid off 3,200 people and they're looking to lay off more, from what I understand. We got some serious problems here. We got some, and there's no, again, at least as far as the restaurant industry, I'm not quite sure of what's going on with Mickey Mouse. You got to watch that mouse. He's like the brown people. You don't watch him. As a matter of fact, anyway, let that go. I think it's wrong. And to a certain degree, some of these restaurants, people and some of these restaurant owners, have started to protest the fact, that it seems arbitrary where they're drawing these lines about who has to close. This is what the deal with the Staten Island situation. And the Staten Island situation was starting to get a little rough because I think the Proud Boys were getting involved with that a little bit, not for nothing. I tell you the truth, though. I mean, you know, that's that pub in Staten Island. I tell you the God honest truth, and I'm a pretty decent judge of character by pretty much, you know, read a book by its cover kind of deal. I'm usually okay on that, quite frankly. I mean, no, you know, it's nobody's perfect, and it's pretty much a wrong thing to do anyway. But it looks like the guy, the owner that they were talking about, if you've seen photos of him, the dude looks like a scumbag. I'm just going to, he looks like fucking trouble. You know, that's it. You know, you look at someone and say, oh man, it's trouble. He looks like that. So, but at the end of the day, I think he might have a point, whether he's a troublemaker or not. He might have a point in regards to how arbitrary it is. And this is now penalizing an industry. Not for nothing, you know. They looked to bail out the airline industry the day after 9/11. They're like, oh, we you know, and banks. Remember the banks during the big fail? Oh, these are industries. Oh, they can't fail. We can't let them fail. You're going to let the restaurant industry fail? Really? Most people don't cook, dude. I can tell you that. Most people I know and I talk to, they pop, you know, tater tots in the oven, pot pie, and they're good to go. You know, they don't cook because they don't have the time. You know, now maybe they learn to cook because they've got time on their hands, but still you have to buy groceries in order to be able to cook. So, things are screwed. Things are 100% screwed. And, you know, again, this is the government's fault. This is 100% to me, because of who I am, this is I view this as an abuse of power. And I have, it's mostly in blue, you know, there aren't even blue states. You know what there are? They're blue counties, quite frankly. And you could say things like about the red, really, because it's the counties that make up these states, you know, and how they draw these lines. So to say blue state is wrong, but we'll let it go. At least I acknowledge that there's a difference there. But the idea becomes it's these Democratic governors and these Democratic mayors. They're just, for whatever reason, they feel that they were summoned to Mount Arafat. No, Arafat's where the Ark is. They were summoned to the with the Ten Commandments. And where Jesus ascended after the 40 days. See, I know that stuff at least. Mount Olives, I think it is. Yeah, that probably sounds right. But anyway, from on high. And they're not. And then a jackass like friggin' Cuomo, who writes books about these things, what a great job he did. Nothing in there about murdering people. Nothing in there about that. And the media just pet these little monsters on the head. It's like, oh, they're doing the right thing. You know, the greater public safety. It's like, wait a second. And the problem is the idea of having the Constitution trounced on. It's not a new thing. It's not a new thing. And you know, it's the politicians, but it's the media being complacent in this as well too. You know, it's interesting. It's obviously, as most of you probably know, it's been a big week for Hunter Biden and the Biden family. And I think Fox just showed the Bobulinski interview for they're showing it again. They showed it at 5. They reran it at 5 o'clock and they're doing it at 10. I watched it originally on the 27th when Tucker had him on. And the guy seems pretty legit to me. And I guess we're going to find that out pretty soon because it turns out that Hunter Biden's under investigation, tax investigation. But I believe he's also under a criminal investigation for money laundering. So it's all going to start to unravel a little bit, slowly but surely. But I know, and this was announced Monday, Tuesday, maybe, I guess. I heard it on the 5 first. So. they broke in with a special report that was underway. And the thing of it is, and this is really what's interesting, he's been under investigation since 2018. So that's quite some time, you know, prior to the, and he still is, quite frankly. And I know a lot of people, and, you know, like I said, there's a lot of room at my table for people on the right. I don't care what your deal is. You know, if you are capable of speech, you know, the only way we're going to get anywhere is if we stand together. And we represent like 74 million people in this fucking country. And that's not to be forgotten. You know, MAGA is going to die hard for sure. But the idea is, there were people on my side of the fence, for lack of a better term, who were upset with Attorney General Barr for not saying anything and feeling that if something had been said, there might have been people who voted for Biden who wouldn't have. Maybe they wouldn't have voted at all, but they might have voted for Trump. Either way, it would have helped Trump out at all. You know, it would have helped Trump out at all. And they're kind of angry at AG Barr. But I get it. It was an ongoing investigation. I don't think law enforcement of any caliber or variety or stripe generally comments on ongoing investigations unless they have to. Second of all, the idea becomes is that I don't blame him. Given everything that's gone on, I don't blame him for not wanting to weaponize the State Department or DOJ, the Department of Justice. Because we'll sit here and we'll complain about how the federal government has been weaponized against the right and how the swamp has weaponized the government against the right. But when given the opportunity, we'll complain about we didn't get to do it and weaponize the government against the left. I'm just being honest. You can't have it both ways. If you want, you know, and justice for all, if you want that, then the government shouldn't be able to be weaponized by anyone, left, right, center, Martians, whatever. That's my take on it, not for nothing. An eye for an eye leaves everybody blind, as they say. So at least in this particular case, and you know, I'm not the coolest heads prevail. I'm usually not that guy, but in this particular case, yeah. And the real failing isn't on the part of Attorney General Barr. Or the government, the real failing is once again on the media, who, when they did cover the Biden story, and this goes back to the laptop, mind you. Oh, and by the way, the FBI has a laptop. Of course they do. The real culprit in this, other than possibly the FBI, oh my God, is the media. Because whenever it was covered, and we're not even talking like, you know, CNN, that's Pravda. That's far left stuff. We know that, you know, MSNBC, that's far left stuff, you know, but the networks, ABC, CBS, NBC, whenever it was covered, it was immediately the words conspiracy theory were attached to it. So as to marginalize it, so as to minimize it in the American public's eyes, because there's a lot of people, not you and I, but there's a lot of people who only watch a half hour of news a night. And it's usually whatever, ABC, CBS, or NBC. In the early evening, they watch the news, and then they watch their network television, and then they order their Domino's pizza, and then they go to sleep. Maybe a little weed. And then they go to sleep. But you get my point. There's plenty of people not really seeking out their media, not really looking and running the gamut of media during the course of the day. Not everyone is a news junkie. Not everyone. You know? These are people who are minimally participating in social media, sending up pictures of the grandkids and such like that. So what they hear from those networks is what they believe. And if they don't hear it on those networks or see it in the papers, because maybe these people still read newspapers, although that's highly unlikely, they can't see it, they don't know about it. It's the media. It's the media's fault for not covering the story. It's the media's fault for not covering the story. This could be as big, you know, I keep saying, this could be the biggest thing since, and I'm getting tired of saying that because there's so many senses. You know, when we go back to Spygate, pretty much proven correctly, right? President was right on that. You know, and again, that's something that was written off as preposterous. That was a conspiracy theory as well, too. Meanwhile, for the last 4 years, all we hear about is collusion. All we hear about is Russian collusion. Where it actually turns out, and this was ironic because it was a cross point of these stories, because the Biden stuff, it's been known for the longest time that Biden's family was basically making money off of his name. For the longest time, for decades. That's all Joe Biden has to offer, quite frankly. Look at the guy. Seriously. But, you know, when we start wondering why friggin', you know, what's Hunter Biden have to offer? Is the brother's name Jim? Jim Biden? Yeah. What's Jim Biden have to offer the world? These are, not for nothing, these are both failed businessmen. Hunter's a recovering, and I don't even know if he's in recovery, addict, right? What sage information, what sage wisdom could these douchebags possibly have to pass along, right? What, and they're giving $100 million deals out of China and less so, but more, you know, big deals out of Ukraine. Ukraine, right next to Russia, go figure, right? What do these people actually have to offer other than the fact that they know and they can tout themselves as being close to Joe Biden? These nations were buying influence. There's nothing else. Jim and Hunter, they have nothing else to offer the world. They just eat and poop. That's all they do. There's nothing there. There's fucking nothing there, man. Nothing. And they're giving $100 million deals or structured deals. They're making, you know, they're being hired as consultants. What the fuck would these guys be consulting on? You know, excuse the profanity, but I get really upset. What would these guys be consulting on? Huh? How to ruin your life? Seriously. No. China, and specifically the Communist Party in China, they're buying influence. Everybody's going, Russia, 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 but it's China. At the end of the day, no one Scooby-Doo when they pull the mask off and they pull the mask off and it's like, oh, it's Russia. And then you pull it off again and then it's China. China's the problem. What's this? Swalwell? Is this dude's name? Swalwell? This representative from California who was apparently being pumped literally by a Chinese spy, Christine Fang or Fang Fang? Christine Fang? I don't even. You know, all those yellow names of fucking celestials. Oh, I know. She's now back in China. But here's a guy serving on the House Intel Committee. And this dude, oh, we knew about it. Oh, yeah, when the FBI told me about it, I immediately ended it. There's no like it. It's always it. It's like, yeah, he's not going to admit that he was banging the bitch, right? But it's always it. Whatever was going on was no longer going on. But the point now becomes is that how much money he took money for his campaign. And I believe she got to pick one of the interns that was working in his office. Are you fucking kidding me? Well, back to the profanity. Are you kidding me? Seriously? Really? Okay. And this guy he's still on the Intel committee. How's that happen? The guy was compromised. Compromised. And he's serving on the House Intel committee. Only Democrats. If this had been, seriously, I gotta say it. If this had been a Republican, what do you think would happen? What do you think would happen? You know, and that's not, again, what you think the media's willingness to take sides and literally become a wing of the Democratic Party. That's the sort of stuff that leads to failed nations. That's the sort of stuff. Look around in Central America. Look around in I guess even South America. Look around. We've seen this before. And it happens here. And if the media, who is part of the problem, isn't talking about it, the vast majority of America doesn't know about it. I could sit down and have a conversation about stuff that isn't even tinfoil, not even tinfoil hat. And the vast majority of Americans would think that I'm crazy. This is a problem. And this is why I say all the time, maybe I don't say it enough, we have to talk to people. I sit here and I do this weekly, for better or for worse. I talk about the things that you can do. Social media, you can start your own podcast. But you know what's really in it? Because I sometimes beg you to do this. Mention it. Talk to people. Talk to the people around you. Talk to the people around you. You know, you're not going to have people around you. I'm not saying you should grab people off the street. Yeah, I think that's illegal. I'm pretty sure that's still illegal. Yeah. But talk to people around you. Generally, the people around you are the people, they care about you, they respect you, they respect your opinion. Speak to them in a rational voice, okay? Don't get all lathered. I know it's hard not to get all upset. I know it's hard. Believe me. But talk to people. Communicate with people. People who, for whatever reason, may not be as much into alternative news sources. And we're not even talking, I don't even want to make this seem, paint this like this is alternative news source stuff. This is like big stuff that the media is not covering. And again, I have to remind you with what was going down there in New York, the friggin' thing with the protest, the bank protest down there. I can never remember the name of them. It was going on for a month or 6 weeks before it even got out in New York City. The fact that it was happening, because there was an agreement between the police force, you know, law enforcement and the media, you know, at Stugatti Park there, or Stugatz Park, right? I can't remember the name of it. I'm horrible. I know. I always forget one thing at least once per show. So that's my one thing. People didn't think, because they didn't know about it. No, there's no, and there's a thing about that. You can have a major demonstration going on, you know, on the Wall Street thing. You could have a major demonstration going on in the largest city on the planet, in the largest news zone, you know, as far as media, you know, media market, the largest media market in the world. And the rest of America didn't know about it for 30 days. If that can happen, anything can happen. It's as if they want people to disconnect so that they continue to get away with what they're getting away with. Because again, the media is in total cahoots with the Democratic Party. 100%. And they're biased against the right wing. And this includes tech, by the way. This includes big tech. I don't think I have to tell you that. Their bias is, now it's not only about pushing their agenda, but they will do anything they can to discredit or to hurt President Trump. Anything. Remember, I talk about that term all the time. What is that thing where it's like you get the moral high ground, and the idea becomes you can do something wrong if you are under the impression, and this is where things become subjective, that it's for a greater good. So you can do the wrong thing for what is, quote unquote, they consider to be the right reason. But at the end of the day, they don't get to make that determination as to whether it's the right reason. They don't get to do that. They're not our overlords. This is the thing. This is where we're having things start to separate. Things are peeling apart. We've always talked about this, but now you have a graphic illustration of these people passing legislation that are ending people's, literally, and some people's ending their lives, making their burden that much worse, putting them under the yoke, as they would say in the Old Testament. These people are making these laws, and they're making these decisions for what they consider to be the greater good, and their greater good isn't helping you or helping America. Their greater good is pushing their agenda. And they've become our overlords. Because they're telling us what to do. Now it's not just about, oh, how do you spend the tax money? No, man, we're way, 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 way beyond that. Way beyond that. And if people can't see this, then you need to point this out to them. Because if you care about them, that's what you'll do. Because this is how it starts. This is how it starts. I've had enough for tonight. One thing I did want to mention, the march rallies in D.C. It seems things got a little messy there as it got dark. I know there were a couple of stabbings. I know there were some confrontations earlier on and then later in the day between the Proud Boys and people claiming to be Antifa. I think you can imagine where I fall on that spectrum. You can imagine where my support's going to go. And I think since I was last on, I think the quote unquote big lawsuit, has been the Supreme Court said they won't hear it. They acknowledged it, but they will not grant any sort of relief. So there's another. I think there's like 50 lawsuits and 50 denials by the court at this point in time, or various courts at this time. I think it was the first one that went to the Supreme Court. This is the one that Cruz was going to argue in front of the court. We just keep going. We just, you know, until all legal avenues are exhausted. And then, you know what? I don't even know what to say. There might come a point in time where armed insurrection is necessary. Either that or we let them win. We let them steal it. We just let them steal it. And if we let them steal it this time, they'll be more emboldened next time. I don't even know what to say anymore. I'm sitting out with a pair of headphones and a microphone in front of me and all this fucking fancy fucking equipment. And at the end of the day, I don't know what to say anymore. I am literally done. I need to get the fuck out of here because I'm at a loss. I painted myself into a little corner, and I really don't know how to get out of it. So I'm just gonna do. Let me do my plugs real quick, and I'm pulling the plug. That's what I'm doing. All right. Head over to the Midwood Files. That's lfmidwood.com. You'll find archives, social media, all sorts of stuff up there. You'll find some links. 11LR and I take you over to John Lightning's page, where there's tons and tons and tons of John Lightning archives, as well as Dave the Boogeyman and Big Steve Cole in memoriam. And over to the right, far right, we have a good friend, Brad Reed. Thanks, Brad, for running the show. Appreciate it greatly, especially in this day and age. That being said, I'm out of here, and I will see you all next week. So I need to do this, and I lost my thingy. There it is. There was such a thing as a smooth exit. All right, when was that up? That's up. Yep. All right, we're out of here. See ya.
You've been listening to the Midwood Files on Radio New York International. Thanks for listening. RN